Welcome to the Women in Power podcast, where women entrepreneurs share their stories, struggles, and accomplishments. We are here to listen to women in all walks of life, from starting a business to running million-dollar companies, from personal to business, and everything in between. Let's get started. Here's your host, Bree Logue.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Women in Power podcast. I'm your host, Bree Logue. Today we have Damara West. She's the founder and chief wellness officer of Be Well Beautiful Woman, which is a global wellness community focused on liberation and joy so all women can live and lead on their own terms. Through this social enterprise, she facilitates retreats, group coaching, wellness, and business support, and hosts the Be Well Beautiful Woman podcast. I am super excited to chat today.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So glad to be here with you.
Well, I'm super excited to chat. So tell us a little about you and what you're currently doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you know, and you share with your audience, I have been for the last several years operating Be Well Beautiful Woman, a global wellness community, and we support women in a myriad of ways, from day retreats to overnight retreats to the Be Well Beautiful Woman podcast, group and mastermind coaching, and a lot of education and virtual community support, particularly because we are a global community. And I'm a licensed therapist. That's really what propelled me on my journey to start Be Well Beautiful Woman. And even before that, I was and still am the principal and lead consultant within Change Agent Consulting. That work takes me all over the country, and I focus on things like strategy and business development, anti-racism, diversity, equity, and inclusion, evaluation, leadership development, and everything in between, if you will, when it comes to capacity building support. So it's really a marriage. Be Well Beautiful Woman is a marriage between my business acumen, my affinity to wellness, both through my formal training, but also the work that I've done as a result of being a part of the community myself and birthing it. I've done a lot of work on myself to heal from complex trauma. So what I'm imparting to women within our network and is that, indigenous practices are really ours to tap into. And these practices don't necessarily cost us a dime. And then even our breath has great power to ignite our body's ability to heal itself. And so I want women to be able to tap into that so that they understand that their power to co-create their lives with God, universe, source, creator, whatever it is that we coin that thing to be, so that we can live a life that is rooted in immense well-being, along with just abundance in every area of our lives, essentially, whether that be financial or relationships or purpose. We want to be able to help you bring those things to the forefront.
Ooh, that's amazing. Wow, I have so many questions. I'm really excited to jump into that part. But let's backtrack a little bit and tell us how you became an entrepreneur.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I didn't have a blueprint for entrepreneurship. In fact, when I was in undergrad, I thought for sure that I was going to be a teacher with an emphasis on early childhood. And then found myself in the AmeriCorps program and working for a nonprofit housing organization and doing a lot of different things from neighborhood preservation to community building. And I was one of the, I was on the management team, one of the youngest people on that management team at the time. And had worked there for about 5 years, and I saw consultants coming in to do work with us. And I became very intrigued, and I thought I could do that. And I just had a thought literally just like that one day. And then went to the internet, started doing a lot of research, found out that I could be vetted as a consultant in all of these statewide pools. I'm based in Michigan, but also across the country. And one of the pools that I was vetted in was through NeighborWorks America. And all these years later, they've become one of a client that I've done an exorbitant amount of work with. My very first job was in Portland, Oregon. I was shocked that they vetted me because I had literally no consulting experience. But yet I had this experience working for this nonprofit housing organization for about 5 years, doing all kinds of things within that space. And then even a few years before that, working in the nonprofit space in direct care. And so the reality is that even though I didn't necessarily set out to be an entrepreneur, everything that I had done leading me up to that point had propelled me to do that. And so, you know, you talk about full circle and having that one opportunity at one of their training institutes, and then years later, them becoming one of the biggest clients that I have worked with, whether that be within the governance space or leadership development. And so that's what started me on my entrepreneurial journey. And, you know, right around that same time, I got a call from the director of the National Resource Center for Racial Healing. And I have been, you know, going to a lot of their trainings for the past few years, and got this call, you know, around the time when I'm launching my consulting work, and to say, you know, I've got this job, do you want it? And I knew that that was the call for me. So I took it, and, you know, all these things started to happen, where, you know, source, God, universe, creator is speaking to us and letting us know that we're on the right track, if you will. So that's how the journey started. And 15 years later, I have been a full-time entrepreneur. It has been my constant. I've done a lot of things in between, you know, from being in grad school to working on getting, you know, getting my full licensure in the field, to starting a nonprofit youth development, high school quality out of school time program. I did Freedom Schools for about 8 years in the community. So, you know, I've done a lot of things over the years, but the one thing that has been my constant has been entrepreneurship.
I love that. I love that you said you originally wanted to be a teacher, because it sounds like you're definitely teaching right now too, with all the other people around you, right? I think it's so funny when I talk to entrepreneurs, like, oh, you know, I always felt like I was like meant for more. And I love that you work with nonprofits and everything too, because I feel like that's always that the community aspect, right? I feel like that's one of the big things that entrepreneurship gives you too, is like the ability to be able to give back and give your time, right?
Yeah, I love that you said that, because I think that so oftentimes we believe that we have to have these formal connections to things like education. And the reality is that there are multiple pathways by which we can be a teacher, we can be a healer, we can be a coach, we can be a helper. And, you know, I say often to women, just start with what you know, right? You don't need to try to recreate the wheel. Now, of course, part of being an expert is feeding yourself with knowledge and education so that you can become a leading expert within your particular field. But no one starts as a leading expert. We start off with things in our toolbox that we can translate into the consulting or the entrepreneurial world, whatever world it is that we're aspiring to go into. And we're beginning at that place and allowing that to be the foundation by which we build on. And so, even though diversity, equity, and inclusion and anti-racism is a big part of what I do within the entrepreneurial space, and that's where I started, right? Like my first jobs, and for a long time, people only saw me as that, right? That's the only expertise that I could provide. But at the end of the day, as we show up and as we are able to gain more skill sets and make it known that these are the services that we can provide, we're able to transition and pivot and pretty much do anything that we set out to do, if that's something that we aspire to do based on our background and things that maybe we acquire along the way in order to help to support our efficacy in whatever entrepreneurship journey we're on.
For sure. So before we kind of dive in, I really wanted to ask you about your Be Well, Beautiful Woman. But let's talk about time management for a minute, because I know we talked a little bit before this, that you have a lot of things on your plate and a lot of things going on. How do you manage all your time?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And it's something that I know that many women, we struggle with, right? We say there isn't enough time in the world for us to be able to do the things that we want to do. So one of the things that I always tell people, and this is something, of course, you know, if I put it out there to the world, it's for me too, is like, what power do I have over my own life? And there's a lot of power that we give away. You know, Alice Walker said one of the main ways that we give away our power is by thinking that we don't have any, essentially. And so I don't open my schedule until 10 o'clock. Now, of course, there are times when I have to have early meetings. I'm the board chair for YWCA Kalamazoo. And there might be times that I'm like pitching. I have a big project in the works right now, and I'm pitching a project, and maybe someone's only available at 8 a.m. And so you're going to take what you can get. But day to day, I don't even open my schedule until 10. And that's by design so that my mornings can be my own for my practices. So, you know, most days, what that entails is walking a couple miles, doing Reiki or meditating before I get out of bed. It also entails things like, you know, going in the sauna or doing yoga, because that's my foundation. That's my grounding, which allows me to have the balance that I need to know, okay, do I want to say yes to this project? Do I need to work late today? And if I work late today, what does my schedule need to look like tomorrow? I did a retreat on Saturday, for example, and I was tired even at the start of the retreat. And so normally I'd be running around, but I knew that, you know, I can compromise with myself in that moment. It's like, no, I can, like, people can bring their own chairs up when they get here. I don't have to run around and get this organized, right? So I think that when we can remember the power that we have, and that also this question around, like, what is it that we value, right? Because what we value is going to be essentially where we spend our time. Now, naturally, there's going to be obligations that might come up, like we're having to take care of a sick parent, or we have a deadline, or we're having to do a report, and reports are not, like, are the most exciting thing that we want to be able to do. So there's negotiation that's happening all the time. And we're not always going to have things in our lives that we say hell yes to because it's an obligation. But I think that there are a lot of things that we have the ability to ebb and flow with, that would allow us to have greater opportunity for that balance. You know, I was talking to someone recently and they said, oh, you know, I'm up late and I'm responding to emails and I'm doing, I said, why? I said, was that the expectation when you got hired? No, I just do it because, well, like, let's unpack that a little bit. What are you trying to prove? What message are you trying to send? When is it enough, essentially, right? Like, when is it enough? We always have the ability to negotiate, both from an individual standpoint and both from an external standpoint, in terms of whether we're talking about with bosses or with clients or with friends or with family members. And at the end of the day, you know, what really comes down to good work-life balance is good boundaries, because you can't have good work-life balance without boundaries. And that means that you have to have systems in place to support you in that. You have to be willing to offend people sometimes because you can't do the things that they want you to do because it's going to be too self-sacrificial in order for you to do that. But I think that as we work on ourselves and we become more aware of who we are and the value internally, that the value that we have that really comes from within and permeates out, then it makes it much easier for us to live in that life of balance, even when it comes to our children, right? Because sometimes that's one of the biggest areas, or our partners, where we're giving up a lot of our power because we think we have to. Now, there's things we have to do, of course, within the context of parenting. But I think that a lot of times things are up for grabs. And I think that anything has the ability to be examined and altered in some way to leave more room for us to have that work-life balance.
I love that. Yeah, boundaries are so important. And I didn't really dive into boundaries until like 2 years ago. And ever since I set those parameters, like even in all my contracts now, I have like, you know, these are the times I respond to emails, you know, these are things like, you know, if you have need something that needs to go up or needs to be done ASAP, like I work from, you know, 9 to 10 to 5 every day, you know, and if it's outside that time, I'll reach out to you the next day. But for a very long time, I did not do that. And it's so draining if you don't start with those healthy boundaries in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what just occurred to me too, is that I just read the 4 agreements for the second time. I think where we operate, our behavior is in connection to the agreements by which we've made, right? And so many of us have been conditioned to believe, you know, we have to do X, Y, and Z. Well, do we? Like, do we really have to do X, Y, and Z? And part of having good boundaries is knowing thyself, right? Knowing what brings you pleasure, what brings you joy, what brings you peace. How is it that you want to be treated? What are you willing to do to ensure that that treatment is available? And, you know, the way that people treat us starts from within, period. And if you don't, the extent to which you're able to hold good boundaries, and please know these words are always for me, and this is a journey, it's the extent to which we actually love ourselves, right? And if we love ourselves wildly, then we will take wild care of ourselves in the midst of even the rigor of the work that we do, right? Because the work that we do, both of us, I imagine, are deeply passionate about it, right? And yet, is that the most important thing in life? Is that the end all be all, right? We know that it provides a lot of support, but we act like work is the end all be all versus one aspect of living a full life.
I love that. And I feel like so many people, even just let's just talk about the entrepreneurial world in general, a lot of people are always saying, you know, if you do, what is it? If you love your work, you'll never, you know, work a day in your life, which I think is great. But I also think people need to stop thinking that they are their work. Their job does not define them. And I think there's so many other places that you can get your passion or your purpose from that doesn't have to always involve your work too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
So I think that's a great transition. Let's talk about Be Well, Beautiful Women. So tell us, when you say a global wellness and business community for women, what does wellness mean in that context?
Yeah. So for me, wellness is really about the foundation, right? It is the extent to which we are investing in our self-care. It's the extent to which we are saying yes to the things that we want to say yes to, no to the things that we really want to say no to. It's the extent to which we're centering our healing, because even though all of us don't have the same level of trauma, all of us have some form of trauma that we've experienced, even at an acute level in terms of our conditioning. So, you know, when I think about wellness, I think about the undoing of all the things that have prevented us from being well, and then putting action in place that allows us to be well, right? So, you know, of course, it starts with the acquiring of knowledge. And then hopefully that begins to become a part of the way that we think. And then hopefully it becomes a part of the way that we are, right? That embodied practice. So when I think about what it means to be well, I think about our life across mind, body, spirit. You know, are you physically well? Are you financially well? Are your relationships well? Are you physically well? Are you moving your body? Are you spending time investing in social connections? These are all things. And as we invest in those things, they intertwine with one another, right? They feed into one another. So when I think about what it means to be well, it means that all systems are working in the most optimal way possible so that we are able to live a life of utopia right now, right? Where we don't have to wait until the afterlife if that's what we believe in. We can have joy and peace and pleasure right now, right? And the extent to which we're able to receive that is the extent to which we are well, essentially.
Ooh, I love that. So let's talk a little bit about your retreats. What do those look like?
Yeah. So the retreats that I provide, I'm trained in a lot of wellness modalities, from being a Reiki master to a yoga teacher. I'm trained in emotional freedom techniques, which is also known as tapping, forest bathing, breath work, you name it. I have probably, you know, either had an immersive experience or have a formal certification in that particular area. So what I typically do is I will use all of those things that I know, if you will, including literature at times for bibliotherapy purposes. And I curate an experience that is immersed in nature, essentially. So I'm grateful that right now for my day retreats, I have a partnership with Our Nature Center. So they provide this space called the Carver House. It's immersed in a forested area. It is so beautiful. So I use the grounds a lot to do forest bathing and meditative kinds of experiences to allow individuals to understand the power that nature has and our connection to nature, to be a reservoir of healing for us and to provide guidance for our lives. And it's really wild the kinds of things that happen for people, and not just people that have never had an experience within, you know, a forested area, or, you know, someone who's never gone hiking or something like that, but like everyone, as we are fully present in nature, just sitting in nature. And science shows this, the power that it has to ignite our own self-healing. So day retreat, we're together for about 7.5 hours. There's a combination of like individual reflections, a lot of journaling that's embedded, a lot of sisterhood reflection and connections that are made. So there is some soft networking. Strategic alliances will typically take place within a day retreat setting, which is really amazing. In addition to that, we will have just different kinds of experience. So it could be group Reiki. It could be a visioning exercise. It could be the last day retreat I had, I used some of the content from the Four Agreements. And so I taught in a very soft way, in my words, of course, what those four agreements were. And then what I did was I had guided reflection questions that I developed to help people to understand it. And then, of course, they have an opportunity to go and buy the book to go deeper in their understanding of these practices and to, you know, further ignite what their impact was in the space together. We did an extensive yoga class, so we practiced for about 1.5 hours. You know, it was a moderate practice, so I always check in with people to see, like, are we doing, you know, a lighter practice or something else, and, you know, different variations of that. So there's a combination of things. It's really whatever my heart is drawing me to. So as we ended our day retreat last time, I was like, next time we're out here, my next day retreat will be in September. We're going to have an immersive nature experience. So we're going to actually spend a good probably 1.5, 2 hours doing some guided things out in nature. And then I'll build our day around this 2-hour experience, considering that's going to take up a large chunk of our time together. And then of course we break bread, right? I mean, you got to feed people, have time for respite in between, because you don't want it to feel like work. You want it to feel like rest, right? You want it to feel like joy. You want it to feel light, while also people are doing really powerful individual and collective work together. It blows my mind every time I'm in a space. I'm like deeply grateful that Source is using me in this way to help to ignite major shifts for women, major shifts. And I don't take credit for that. I take credit for doing what I'm called to do. Like the fact that people show up, like people have to show up, people have to do the work. And then we have to co-create an experience together. Then they have to do the work even after the time that we're together, because the real impact is not what happens when you show up and you feel good for a day, right? Or you feel good for a few days. The real impact is what we do day in and day out, thought by thought, action by action, emotion by emotion. And we can only get to our optimal selves and do our best by ongoing practice. So I know that was a much longer answer, but I wanted to give you a full layout, and also just in part that, you know, part of what I want to be able to impact is that people are able to use these practices immediately at home should they decide to do that. So I know I'm like working healers out of their jobs, but not really though, right? Because there's also still going to be a need for us to get support elsewhere. Like I literally just hired a coach. I just blogged about this. I've worked with coaches several times over the years. I'm actually a professional certified coach through the International Coaching Federation. And I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, ooh, I need a coach right now, right? I need to have space that's just for me, based on where I'm at in my life and what I'm working to birth, right? So there are going to be times when we need that external support and we should go after it and invest in our evolution in that way. But there are also things that we can do on our own in sacred space alone that don't cost us a dime except for our time as we learn to practice these indigenous ways of healing.
Well, the retreats sound amazing, and I definitely would love to learn more after too. But that sounds so fun. One thing that actually I've mentioned in my house, every Sunday we go to a hike someplace different that we haven't been before. So we've tried so many trails, but just getting out of the house for, you know, 2 hours on every Sunday morning, that's how we start our weekend, or it's how we start our day off. And it's been so helpful. I feel so refreshed. Like when I come back to work on Monday, just like actually getting outside in nature, it just makes you feel so much better.
Oh my gosh. I love that ritual. I love that Sunday ritual. And I may just pick that up. I used to have girls' church on Sunday. based on this, you know, wellness group that I was in, we were all healers. And I say that with a quotation just because, like, I feel like we are all healers, whether we have tapped into that or not. We called it ladies' church. I'm sorry. We don't have ladies' church anymore. But I'm thinking that maybe I might have some individual ladies' church by hiking every Sunday, going out to a preserves close by. I really, really love that ritual.
Yeah. We actually invite, different groups of friends every week too. So we get out and go hike with our friends instead of going out, you know, like drinking now. It's like, oh, we can actually get outside and do healthy things.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and a lot of times that's what I do with my friends. I'll say, let's go on a hike. Let's go on a morning walk together. There's something about that Sunday hike though, that just really, that really resonated with me. And so I'm seriously thinking about making that a ritual just for me every single Sunday. Because, you know, it's a way for me to also utilize these beautiful preserves that we have. That was one of the messages that I said at the day retreat, like, we have tons of nature that's available at our disposal. Let's use it. Let's use the land. Let's use the land the way that we were supposed to use the land, you know, to help to aid us and for us to aid the land, right? Being present, hugging a tree, right? Becoming one with the tree. I used to like be so anti to these things, but that's because I didn't know. I didn't know any better, right? And so we are all products of what our socialization has been. But the minute that we allow ourselves to enter into spaces like this and be curious and just be fully present, oh, it's so magical.
It really is. So I have a couple more questions, then we'll wrap it up. Entrepreneurship has many ups and downs. How do you handle the bad days?
Oh gosh. So, you know, right now I'm actually going through some, more lows than I've had in a while within entrepreneurship, because I have a big project that I am wanting to birth that will be deeply transformative for me, for the community at large, and for so many people. But it's a very big project. And, you know, when I first put the meat to it, I was so excited, right? But then, of course, you start having conversations with people. And if people aren't supportive of it, right, it may deflate you some. And this is why it's so important for us to be steadfast in the pursuit of what it is that we are trying to work towards, because everybody is not going to understand the journey. And if we allow things to unfold in the material world, meaning the things that we can see, and we allow that to deter us, then we're not steadfast enough in what it is that we're working to pursue. Like, there's going to be harsh, and particularly when you're talking about the elevation of life, whatever that is, right? That next level. And I think that we have a tendency that no matter how many times that we hear good things, we're going to focus on that negative interaction that we had, that one no that we had, or two no's that we had. And so the ways that I counter this is by remembering that alignment. Right. And if someone says no to me, we're just not aligned. I have to just remember that. Even in times when I think for sure I'm going to get something, I apply for this fellowship and I had everything. I mean, I'm like, there's no way they're not going to. I've been in business for 15 years. I've had this impact. But in the board of the YWCA, like, of course they're going to pick me. And they didn't. Right. And I spent hours on this application and I spent hours getting letters of recommendation. And so in the, you know, you have these moments, and the reality is that it's okay to be disappointed in these moments, but to not sit in that disappointment. Right. Because if you sit in that disappointment, that has energy. Everything has a frequency, if you will. And it's actually cutting you off from your reservoir of flow and your abundance track. So while you're moping about something that didn't happen, the universe source creator is working to send you the thing that you've been waiting for to be aligned with, to get you to the next level in life, right? But it can't come to you if you're not able to see it, because you're so caught up in the no's, right? You're so caught up in the ways that things aren't necessarily moving right now. Sometimes that means that the timing's not right. Sometimes it means that that's not where you should be pursuing. But if you know for certain, this is the pathway by which, and you, this is why, again, that internal locus of control is so important, because that will keep you grounded. no matter what someone says to you. And, you know, one of the things I appreciated about the Four Agreements, and, it, you know, lots of things stood out to me in that book. But one of the things that was so good that no matter if you like me or not, of course, it feels good when people say good things about us, right? When people get it, it feels good. But if we are determining our worth, and if we are looking for that affirmation to move forward in life, then we're missing our power. We're giving our power away even in those moments. Because in one minute, people can be singing your praises, and the next minute, they may not be. So if we can really get strong enough internally through practices to stay anchored in our power, then it allows us to be buffered in those times when life is going to lie. When no's are going to come, when rejection is going to happen, when it appears and when it's like, oh my gosh, like, have you abandoned me? Like, you gave me this vision. Where are you in the midst of this? But the reality is that source, universe, God, creator always wants to give us what we want. And if we know for certain this is the thing that we're supposed to be doing, all we have to do is keep showing up and activating. Keep showing up and activating. And one of the ways that we do that is by doing the internal work over and over and over again, and then shifting in our thinking when we're, you know, in real time, sometimes when we're having these conversations with people. And it's like, you know, it doesn't matter. We won't even belabor this, but I think we are speaking the same language about how do we stay on par with the ruffles that happen sometimes in the pursuit of our dreams, whether that be entrepreneurship or something else, right? So yeah, that's what I'll say about that.
Well, you made me think of, you said a couple of amazing things too. Don't take anything personally. I love that. It's like one of my favorite of the agreements. You know, it's what other people do is not because of you. Mm-hmm. Focus is what kept coming to mind. We kept saying that. And I was like, oh, that's been something I always notice when I lose focus of my vision and I'm start working on other things that weren't originally aligned with what I originally wanted. I can always tell that things nudge me back along. Like, oh, your focus needs to go back that way. You know, you're starting to lose focus on things. So I don't know why that randomly just popped in my head and you're talking about that.
No, that's
and
good.
Then one other thing you said that I loved is when you're having a bad day and something, disappointment, you can feel it, but let it go. I think so many people just like try to shove it down. Like, I'm just going to shove all my feelings. But I love you said you should take a moment to feel those feelings and feel the disappointment because that is okay. And then just move on.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said it right. Because I think in those moments, I mean, we can say, right, like I'm feeling really crappy about this, or I feel betrayed by this, or like, I can't believe this person is treating me this way. Like, own that. But then choose from that point, how are you going to see it? Because you can just release them. Because at the end of the day, you have the power of choice always. I was just out to brunch with a friend of mine, and there were some things that were coming up, and I was triggering her in all of these ways. And I was like, oh my God, where is this coming from? And I was, you know, so I was going back and forth, and what I told myself was, this is not about me. This is about her. And I know that she loves me, but is this the kind of love that I want in my life? Right? Like, is she too triggered by me to love me in the way that I know that I'm worthy of being loved? That's what it looks like in real time. Now, I don't need to go toe to toe with her. I need to be able to walk away and process this thing so that I make a decision that is ultimately right for me in the context of this relationship based on what has appeared on the surface, right? Because even though, no, what she's doing is not personal, if there are things that are harmful to me, and if I allow it, then it becomes my problem, right? Now it's just her problem, but now it becomes my problem too. So I just love that you said that, right? Like, honor, release. I mean, we have to do this countless times throughout the day sometimes, because there's going to be all kinds of things. And, you know, and when you're really in your power and you're doing your work, one of the things that your light does is it brings up a lot of people's poison. This is just like, it does. You can bring it, light definitely brings light, but light can also bring darkness forward, right? And there's this friction that starts to happen. And so part of being on the journey is understanding that as we heal everybody and everything is not coming with us, right? Because as you heal, your alignments are going to look different in your life. Certain things can't stay because they can't go to where you're going. It would be the equivalent of having baggage, if you will, right? And so this is why loving, detached, even whether it be things or people, is such a powerful practice, because it's an acknowledgement that everybody and everything is not here to stay, that things are meant to change and recycle through. And not to say there's anything bad if you've had the same friend for 50 years. I mean, what a gift in that, right? And it could be that for 50 years, y'all been the same. Your frequency's been the same. And like, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. But I think that most of us who are elevating by virtue of our healing journeys, most of us understand that there's going to be a lot of letting go of people and things along the way.
100%. That's one of the reasons why I moved away from my hometown, like, as soon as I could too. It's like, oh, I just need to detach and make a whole new life for myself somewhere else where I could, make friends or on the same kind of level as me, or make people or find people who, can actually encourage me versus, bring you down.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's so beautiful. And I imagine that took immense courage, right? Because, there's still, even though you knew that, there's still like this pull from family, right? This influence from family. So the fact that you had the courage to say, no, I have to find my own way, and I can't find my own way if I'm here. And so that's really, really, that's a power move.
Thank you. So what tips do you have for women who are kind of on the fence? They don't really know what the next step is for them.
Yeah. So I think that it's important to find support so that you can get clarity, because once you get crystal clear about what it is that you want to do with your life, I think the action becomes very easy from that place. And not saying, as we talked earlier about that, it doesn't come with some challenges, right? But you become so anchored in that vision that you have that nothing is going to hinder you. And then you're going to find that there's going to be a lot of people and things on your pathway that will help you to get there, right? So, a coach is something that I have found is one of the greatest ways to get clarity that you're seeking. Well, and so, and that could come about through a formal incubation program, a formal entrepreneurship support program, or one-on-one coaching that you do. You've invested in a coaching package, essentially. It has been one of the best investments that I have made from an accountability standpoint, from a standpoint in having space where I'm being asked those really big questions to help me go deeper in my understanding of self and what's most important to me. Not to mention the accountability relationships and sometimes that fierce love, right? That fierce advocacy to say, what are you doing? Right. Where are we going right now? And you don't start there, but eventually you go there because you've built that kind of relationship and you know that this person once has your best interest in mind, and they're taking your evolution very seriously. It is a beautiful co-creation process. So I would say that for any person who knows that they're seeking something different, who knows that there's something different on the horizon and you're seeking whatever that might be, I would highly recommend investing in a coaching program. And the beautiful thing is that if money is a barrier, there are a lot of free opportunities that are available in communities through like women's resource centers and places like that. There is support that's out there as long as we do the work to find that support and we're willing to show up and do the work in the midst of that support.
Oh, I love that. Any tips on how to find the right coach? Because I know a lot of people have been like, oh, I worked with a coach before and it wasn't a great experience. I think coaches are an amazing thing, but I think you definitely need to have the right coach by your side.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think just like with a therapist, right? I mean, because coaching and therapy, they're two distinct fields, but they overlap a great deal. So I would say that, I am a certified professional coach, and I have spent a lot of time and resources investing in my efficacy as a coach. I have my mid-level. So you start with an associate's, you go to the mid-level, which is a at the PCC level, that's professional certified coach. And that just means that you have demonstrated that you have at least 500 hours in the field and you've passed a formal exam and you've gone through an accredited institution. I went through a year-long training program that probably would have been the equivalent of a master's degree. Now, my master's was 60 credit hours, but I know I have friends that have masters that, you know, it was a 30 credit hour program essentially, right? And not to minimize that. A master's is a master's is a master's. So that's the first thing I would want to know, like, what is their formal training? The second thing that I would want to know is, what is their philosophy, right? Is this someone that you have enough alignment with in terms of beliefs? Is this someone where you're going to be able to bring your full self? Is this someone, you know, so for example, you heard me say God, universe, source, creator. If a client comes to me and they're talking about God exclusively, what language do I use? I use the language of God, because that's the language of my client, essentially. So you want to be able to have someone that's willing to meet you exactly where you are, be as inclusive as they can. And you also want someone who have had their own success, right? In the entrepreneurial space, that has the ability to educate you on a myriad of things that are going to be relevant to what your journey is. Now, what I believe is that as a coach, you don't have to be an expert in someone's field to help them, but you do have to ask really what we call empowering questions. You do have to be able to hold people accountable. You do have to hold enough space to help people to make enough sense of something to be able to easily transition them into action. And so all of these things are really important. And the last thing that I'll say is that you want to coach with heart. You want someone that, you know, this is somebody who has my back, who really cares about me. This is not a transactional relationship. This is someone who's going to show up and be fully present. They're going to give it their all in this coaching relationship. And knowing that I can't get my clients to transformation, but I will do my part in everything I can to get them there, right? So those are the four things that I would be curious and what I always look for within my coaches and times. And I would also say that, let's say you hire a coach and you realize that you're not getting what you need from them. Tell them early that this is not working. I need you to be more direct with me. I need more action resources. I need you to tell me X, Y, and Z. You know, now one thing in coaching, and I have clients that will do this and they want me to like give them the answer. They know, like, this is what I just did some testimonials. And what was funny is that, you know, one of the things that came up is that I don't give answers, right? Because I can tell you all day long about what my pathway has been, but we have an individualized pathway. And it is not my job to tell you. It's my job to guide you. It's my job to get you to your own answers, because part of a good coach is going to help you to build your own internal power, not just for what you want to do within the coaching framework for the, you know, the 5 months you work with that coach, but also it's going to be foundational for propelling you long after the coaching relationship is up, right? So those would be some things that I would inquire about. And you can get a sense of that by their brand, through their, you know, reviews. And of course, just having a conversation with them as well to be able to vet them properly before you make a decision on whether or not it's a good fit for you.
Wow, that's some great advice. Thank you. And then yeah, I have one last question and then we can wrap it up, because I did not realize, I'm sorry, we're a little over on time today.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. Okay. I'm good if you're good.
I'm good. Just want to make sure.
Okay.
So what is your favorite book? It's my favorite question.
Oh my gosh. I love books so much. It's so hard. Like, picking my favorite book is like picking a favorite song. And I have probably almost 2,000 songs in my Spotify. I'll tell you my most recent favorite book. My most recent favorite book is The Four Agreements. I read it the first time. I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to read it again. And then I've also kind of tag teamed that with Silva Mind Control Method. And the reason why I love these books, and really any book on manifestation, because I could talk about Pam Grout's book, E Squared, E Cubed, those were transformational. Asking It Is Given, that was transformational for me. Gabby Bernstein's work has been transformational for me. And all of these things have helped me go deeper and deeper in my understanding about abundance. So I would say that's the theme for me across all of these books. But for me, The Four Agreements is probably one of my more favorite books, because it's taking four simple lessons and saying, God, if you want to be free, if you want to live within your truest self, your highest self, all you have to do is these four things. Now, we recognize the complexity of doing these four things time and time again. And yet I really appreciate, because sometimes there's a lot of jargon. There's like, there's a lot of extra elements that I think can sometimes hinder people's ability to understanding the simplicity of what it means to live a liberated life, right? And so even within its simpleness, there's still things that are mind-blowing to me, right? Whenever I think about the power of our mind, right? And how God, universe, source, creator has given us this mind, and this mind has the ability to help to heal ourselves. And this mind has the ability to help the world heal. And this mind has an ability to bring in like amazing things that we're able to manifest, and sometimes quite rapidly, depending on what our frequency is. So those kinds of books have probably been the most impactful for me, because there hasn't been one area of my life that it hasn't touched in some way. These books are really foundational for me. And they're books that I will probably go back to for the rest of my life in some shape or form, because these teachings never get old, right? And so I know that was more than one, but I told you that's like impossible for me to pick one, Brie.
I know, so many good books out there.
So many good
manifestation
ones.
Is such an amazing topic. I think the first like entrepreneur book I ever read or like was The Secret. And I think it was just such a funny place to start my whole journey, but just like it goes much deeper than that now. But that was like such a good basic way for me to like jump into it. But The Four Agreements is like so much better on like a whole nother level.
Yeah. But I love that that's how you started your journey. How divine was that, right? That you got that book. And I imagine what a difference that made in your ability to build a prosperous business, to build a prosperous life. But we know it's not the end all be all. You read one book and then there's another book, there's another experience. There's always more for us to be able to discover. And sometimes, as we know, like, depending on where we're at in our life, we can read a book one time and it's got this meaning, and that meaning is very powerful. And then a few years later, we read it again. It's like, oh my gosh, how did I miss these things? Yeah. Because we weren't supposed to get those things then. We were supposed to get those things now, right? So that's what I love about, and bibliotherapy is like this, a newer thing that I'm really curious about. And I never even thought about reading books as therapy. And yet it all makes sense. Of course it's therapy. Of course it is.
Ooh, I like that. I never really thought of it that way, but I read fiction books. So it's like my fun therapy thing. Like I'll sit outside in my hammock and read my fun fiction, fake books that, you know, just completely help me to relax. I read my, you know, nonfiction books in the morning and I read my fun books at night.
I love that. I need more fiction in my life. I've read some great fiction over the years, but these days fiction is far and few between for me. And so you're inspiring me to get some fictional reads this summer. I still got time.
Oh yeah. Summer fiction one's the best ones. Beach reads, my favorite.
Yes. Yes.
And then how can people connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So folks can connect with us on Instagram at the letter B Well Beautiful. So not BE, it's just the letter B Well Beautiful. Of course, check us out on the web at BeWellBeautifulWoman.com. That is BE WellBeautifulWoman.com. And then of course we have a Facebook page, we have a LinkedIn page. So we're on a lot of different platforms and where people can get connected to our work. And of course, you know, the biggest way that for people to stay in the know is if they go to the website and they opt in for the e-news that gets sent out every single week. And the audience are the first people to know about things that are coming down the pipeline and things of that nature.
Super cool. And you said you have a retreat coming up in September. Where can people find more information on that one too?
Yeah. So individuals can go to the website to find more information about that. Of course, the e-news is going to feature a lot of things about that. And then the upcoming thing that we have going on, I think, as you know, as well, is our group mastermind coaching program. So that launches this Friday, actually. And there's still time for women to get in on it. I've got a nice group already, but we're looking to the extent that people are led for a few more bodies in that space as people are being called to do that. So folks can get in on that and a lot of other things that we have going, even tons of free things, as I shared earlier, as a result of some of the foundational support that I get to make this work accessible to women from all walks of life.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you had me. I really, really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you for listening to the Women in Power podcast. Please hit the subscribe and like button to see more episodes. New episodes air every Wednesday morning. So please join our Facebook group, Women in Power, for the latest updates and news about our podcast.